From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde, in for Ross Reynolds. Everyone's a critic, that's the old saying, and these days it's becoming increasingly true in the world of Yelp and other websites that feature crowdsourced opinions. So do we still need professionals telling us what music to listen to, or what movies to see, or what food to eat? Do critics still matter? What are your thoughts? Give us a call. The number's 206-543-5869. It's 206-543-KUOW, or you could call us toll-free, 1-800-289-5869. Do professional critics matter in this world of Yelp and other online crowdsourced reviews? Joining us first with one opinion about this is Douglas Wolk. He's a freelance writer based in Portland, Oregon. He writes for The New York Times, The Washington Post, Rolling Stone, and other publications. And he joins us now. Douglas Wolk, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so what's the answer to this question? Do we still need professional critics?
Well, anybody who thinks that criticism works the same way it does now as it did like 20 years ago, which is when I became a professional critic, is completely fooling themselves. There are certain kinds of criticism that used to be everywhere that are now completely useless. 200-word capsule reviews, nobody cares about those at this point. Is anybody going to really get their opinion about the new Kanye West record or whatever from, you know, 150-word squib ends with, I don't know, A-minus, 3.5 stars, 4 stars, whatever? No. That's not the way people experience art these days. That's not the way people make their decisions about what art they're going to experience these days. It just does not work like that anymore. It used to be that criticism and print critics had to be the arbiters of taste. They had to be the people who decided what was good, what wasn't good, justified why their opinions mattered, and that would be it. Shows, movies, records would live or die by their opinions. That only works in the culture of scarcity, and there is no culture of scarcity of art anymore. None. Anyone who wants to experience any particular kind of art that anyone can experience, everyone can experience that thing. That's the way the internet works. That's the way transmitting things works. You don't need to rely on somebody else's opinion for that. The only thing that critics are good for is starting conversations, being a trusted conversationalist, being the person who can announce what might be interesting to talk about this thing, and then leading the conversation about it. But we can't direct taste the way that we used to, and actually I think that's a good thing.
We're talking about whether or how much professional critics still matter in the world of Yelp and other online reviews. Douglas Wolk is with us. He's a freelance writer based in Portland, Oregon. So people aren't getting their information in the way that they used to, but how do people trust, or how do you trust, online customer reviews?
Online customer reviews, they're great for certain kinds of things. They're especially great for, you know, consumer goods. If I'm looking to buy a new pocket knife, I'll go on Amazon and I'll look at the reviews of pocket knives. If they say that this thing works great, it's worked for me for 2 years straight, I'll buy it. If it says, oh, this thing broke the third time I tried to use it, then I'm not going to buy it. Customer reviews are great for that kind of thing. For anything that's objective and fact-based, terrific. For anything that's completely subjective, like, oh, this was great, oh, this was terrible, I love this, I didn't like this, that's not necessarily so useful. I look for customer reviews that do the same thing that I would look for in a good professional review or professional piece of criticism, which is explain why you thought what you thought.
All right. Douglas Wolk's a freelance writer based in Portland, Oregon. Stick around for a minute, Doug, and we're talking about this question, whether or not professional critics still matter in the world of online reviews. That's music, books, art, food. Give us a call, 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. How much do you rely on professional critics' reviews these days? How much do you rely on crowdsourced reviews? Are political critics still relevant? Maybe you're a professional critic. Give us a call, 206-543-5869. Daniel Mendelson joins us as well. He's a writer and a critic. His books include The Lost, A Search for 6 of 6 Million, and Waiting for the Barbarians, Essays from the Classics to Pop Culture. Daniel Mendelson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so internet enthusiasts say that criticism has become a lot more democratic than it was 30 years ago, and that's a good thing. What do you think?
Well, I think that's certainly the case. I mean, you can now sort of hear the opinions of many millions of, you know, consumers of culture, people who go to movies, who listen to things, you know, music, and who read books. And that is a kind of picture that we never used to have. It was just not possible 30 years ago to know what, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people were thinking about something. You only had critics, you know, like me, you know, professional critics in print. So I think it's a good thing. I don't think that that makes obsolete the role of the professional critic any more than, say, the proliferation of blogs where people, you know, online sites where people trade information about medicine and diets makes obsolete a doctor, right? I think these are two kinds of complementary activities. What a critic has, a professional critic has, is years of study and a kind of expertise about the subject, whereas what the general public has is strong feelings, lots of experience, you know, a different kind of expertise, let's call it, but that's a kind of different thing. So I think these are complementary. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I don't think it's a war. I don't think it's a battle. And I think that what Douglas was saying, you know, I basically agree with, which is that you go to the professional critic, you know, somebody who's devoted his or her life to studying the thing in question, to, you know, get the story, to start a conversation. But I don't think any serious professional critic claims to have the first and last word. You know, we're just interested in writing about things that are interesting to us.
Yeah, but do you think professional critics are less relevant today than they were 30 years ago?
No, I would say, in fact, the opposite is true because of the proliferation of, say, let's call it private opinions, right? Everybody gets to say what they think of Avatar, okay, or some movie, you know, Man of Steel, whatever it is, or comic books, to take Douglas's area of expertise, right? Everyone has an opinion. I think, if anything, it makes me want to turn to somebody who has a different, you know, more immersed professional expertise to compare the sort of the proliferation of private opinions with someone who, you know, has a kind of expertise. I want it more now than I used to want it, in a funny way. So again, I would argue that these are complementary and that the professional critic is more necessary now because there are so many voices clamoring for attention.
Daniel Mendelsohn is a writer and a critic. His books include The Lost, A Search for 6 of 6 Million. Also still with us is Douglas Wolk, a freelance writer based in Portland, Oregon. One of the things that I hear these days sort of increasingly is that professional critics are elitist. What do you think of that?
Yeah, we're crying out loud.
Douglas?
The professional critics are elitist.
Yes.
It's hard to know even what elitist means in that kind of context. If that means that we tend to like good stuff better than stuff that's not so good, then I guess so. But I can't really parse what that means. Can you explain a little better?
It's just something you hear out there that that professional critics are sort of anti-democratic. They're gatekeepers. You know, they're elitists.
I don't think anybody gets to be gatekeeper anymore at this point. You know, any gate that any professional critic might put up will be immediately bulldozed by the stampede of people racing past them. I don't think that that's necessarily the case anymore.
Hey, Douglas Wolk, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
He writes for the New York Times, the Washington Post, Rolling Stone, and other publications. Daniel Mendelsohn is still with us, and we're also taking your phone calls here at 206-543-5869. It's 206-543-5869. KUOW, what's the role of the professional critic in the era of online reviews? What do you think? 206-543-5869. A minute earlier, I was asking Douglas Wolk about this idea out there that professional criticism is somehow elitist. He says no. What are your thoughts? Daniel Mendelsohn.
Well, I don't think I agree with Douglas. I don't think there may have been a time where that kind of image of the critic as a kind of precious gatekeeper of high culture, say, was very strong. But I think in this day and age, I don't think that that's a sort of valid characterization. You know, there's no gate to keep anymore, you know, because, you know, everything's available to everybody. I don't think, you know, I've been a professional critic for I don't know, 20-something years, and I don't think I'm better than the people for whom I'm writing. I just have made a lifelong study of this stuff, so I'm able to sort of present it from a certain perspective. But that's, you know, I don't think a professional critic is any more of an elitist than a professional surgeon is or a professional car mechanic is.
Yeah. What about this old role of the critic, you know, the sort of image of the powerful critic who could shut down a restaurant, stop a play? Are those days gone?
I think they're fading. you know, I would say certainly, you know, if the chief drama critic of the New York Times hates a play, I think it's not a great thing. But again, the proliferation of so many other platforms where people get to say what they think has eroded that kind of power. I don't think there's any question.
What's wrong with this new world, do you think? I mean, are average people having too much say, too much influence over, you know, restaurants or movies or books, do you think?
I don't think it's a problem because, again, you know, in our normal lives, right, we take things from where they come, right? So, you know, we know how to read Yelp reviews. We know how to read online reviews. You can tell when someone's just a crazy nut job, and you can tell when somebody is considered and cautious and interesting, right? So I think we, you know, precisely because there's so many voices out there now, we have become better at filtering in our own pecking around to see what different people think.
All right, Daniel Mendelsohn, thanks so much for taking the time.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
His books include Waiting for the Barbarians, Essays from the Classics to Pop Culture. Also, earlier we were speaking to Douglas Wolk, freelance writer based out in Portland, Oregon. And we want to take a few phone calls here. The number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. What do you think about this proposition that in the new online universe of online reviews, criticism is less relevant or irrelevant? Let's hear what Lamont has to say. He's calling us from Joint Base Lewis McChord. Lamont, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I think the critic becomes much less relevant because none of us single source our news, but also we now have the opportunity to get the opinions of people who are more like us and what they think. Case in point, I actually listened to a review on NPR for the new Star Trek movie, and your critic hated it. And I haven't talked to a person, I went and saw it myself, and I haven't talked to a person in person that we didn't think the movie was really, really, really good. And I never found out what the movie was about. I just knew he didn't like it.
Hmm. Hey, Lamont, thanks so much for calling. Also joining us, we've got Alice calling us from Ballard. Alice, what do you think?
Well, I've been a professional critic, including on your own air, for more than 30 years.
And a critic of what?
Pardon?
A critic of what?
Mostly theater and dance. And I've been a critic all over the country, including on NPR a number of years ago. But I think that there are several important things. First of all, I think that there's a generational divide about the importance and the relevance of critics. I think for older attendees, there's no question that they want reviews, they read reviews. I think reviews have always been conversation openers. In fact, even though I've been a writer of feature stories as well as reviews, over the years, and I'm going back, as I say, probably 35-plus years, my stories, my feature stories, have never generated the kind of comments, both to me and in whatever forum I've been working in, as the reviews. So I think that they do serve a purpose, whether you agree with the reviewer or not. But I will also agree that for a younger generation, the opinion of a critic is less important, and they may not even read or listen to those reviews. The question that I have is, how do they find out about where they're going to go to spend their hard-earned money? And one of the things that I've always taken into account is when I'm seeing a show, I think about the people who are going to shell out hard, cold cash to see a show. And is this something that they really are going to be interested in? And I provide an informed opinion, and then they can make their own decision. Without those kinds of professional reviewers, I'm not sure, again, it may be something that is relevant to an older audience. I'm not sure how people, especially in an age of so much, on the one hand, media overload, and on the other hand, less traditional media, how people are actually making decisions. How are they even finding out about shows? I mean, I get press releases from all of these organizations, so I know, but I'm constantly talking to people who don't know about things that are out there because there aren't the traditional avenues of publicity that there used to be. And if you're not on social media and if you don't have friends that are out there on social media, you can really miss out on a lot of good stuff. The other thing is that I believe the role of a critic, and it's always been a part of what I've done, is not just to educate the audience, the people, I shouldn't even say educate, but inform or provide that conversation for the audience. Another role that a critic has is to communicate with, if they read them, the artists themselves. And a lot of artists do read reviews. And I think that it is important to have informed opinions out there that they can listen to, think about, maybe accept, maybe reject, but use as a way to grow themselves as artists.
All right. Thank you so much for that phone call, Alice. We've got time here still to talk to Jim DeRogatis. He's the co-host of the rock and roll talk show Sound Opinions that you can hear every Sunday night starting at 10 p.m. on KUOW. Jim DeRogatis, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, you bet. It's a pleasure.
All right. You're a critic. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think, not that I'm criticizing a fellow radio show host, but I think you never defined your terms. What do you mean by professional? What do you mean by critic? You know, Douglas was right. We are in a golden age of opinion. But you know what they say about opinion, right? Everybody has one. They have some. Everybody has something else, too, right? It's cheap. It's easy. It's to say the new Kanye West sucks, to say the new Kanye West is great. That's not criticism. That's just mere opinion.
Our audience here in Seattle, Jim, is really bright. Professionals are people who get paid for what they do. And critics, you're a critic. I know one when I see one. I have this question just for you about the new universe that we're living in. What do you think? Is there too much opinion, too much democracy, or not?
How can there be too much opinion? There's never too much smart, informed conversation about art. What we say, Greg Cott and I at Sound Opinions, you know, Sunday nights at 10 on KUOW, is everybody's a critic. As long as they are approaching the art and having this conversation about the art with insight, with context, and with evidence to back up their opinions. So, you know, you can be a 16-year-old kid in your basement passionately writing about a band, and you have as valid a right to your opinion as Greg Cott or I do about some popular music act, right? Or about Daniel and his field did. As long as you're backing it up. You know, now, you know, professional to me is just using those professional standards. You know, presenting your emotional reaction to a work of art with those things. Context, evidence, insight, making the argument. God bless it. Bring it on. Let, you know, we always joke that Sound Opinions is the world's only rock and roll talk show. By that, we mean like the Rolling Stones were the world's only rock and roll band, right? But we think there should be 100,000 rock and roll talk shows. Let everybody podcast from their, you know, from their Mac in their basement. Bring it on. How can we have too much smart conversation about any art form ever? But the vast majority of the reviews on Yelp and on Twitter, you know, in 140 characters are, dude, this sucked. That's not criticism.
Jim DeRogatis, thanks for being here.
Yeah, you bet.
He is the co-host of the rock and roll talk show Sound Opinions that you can hear on KUOW every Sunday night starting at 10 p.m. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.